You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankowitz, and it's Thursday, April 17th. I'll soon be joined by my co-host, Skylar Butenshin. And now, the news. With the hiring of a new executive director this week, a transportation district on Oregon's North Coast hopes to continue its upward trajectory following a financial collapse in 2023. On Wednesday, the Sunset Empire Transportation District based in Astoria announced it had hired David Carr to replace former executive director Craig Johnston. Johnston announced he was stepping down late last year. Carr is the current director of zero emissions bus programs at Capital Metropolitan Transportation Authority in Austin, Texas. He was raised in Astoria. Carr's hiring comes as the Sunset Empire Transportation District continues to rebuild following significant financial upheaval. In 2023, the district temporarily suspended bus services and other operations and furloughed employees after it was revealed the district had run out of money. Jeff Hazen, the executive director at that time, resigned. He was denied severance because the board said if he had not resigned, he would have been fired for financial malfeasance. A state audit and compliance review later found there was not enough board oversight of financial matters. Debbie Booth Schmidt, who has been serving as the interim executive director since Johnston's departure and is also a member of the board, says the transportation district is in a much better place now. There are concerns about the future of federal funding as the Trump administration continues to slash at federal departments and programs. But
I feel we're in a lot better financial position than we have been for some time. We have our contingency plan. Our loan is being paid off.
The district received an emergency operations loan from the state in 2023 to keep it running. She says the district now has about half of its original bus routes back up and running. She says they're being careful and conservative when it comes to restoring additional routes.
That's something that I think we need to stay with until we do know where all of our funding's coming from.
The district's current ridership levels reflect the lower number of available routes, but it's not something Booth Schmidt says she's overly worried about. Ridership typically increases during the summer, and she says that as they bring back routes, she expects ridership to grow. At a forum Tuesday night in Astoria, candidates vying for the position 3 seat on the Transportation District Board focused on the district's financial situation in their remarks. They also sparred over a question about management turnover at the district and how best to create a stable situation for staff. Kathy Klesick, a land use and transportation planner with the state, and a former board member for the transportation district, noted that the only employee the board manages is the executive director. If the board is not effectively managing that person, she said things roll downhill.
So if you're not creating a cohesive, communicative, open, transparent organization that follows their own rules, knows their own policies, and follows them, then your board director is not going to do that, and neither are any of your employees. And so if everybody is having to make it up as they go along because job descriptions haven't been updated and policies have not been updated and that's all been in the process, and that process going on over years and years is acceptable, then that is why you have a management turnover.
But incumbent Charles Withers shot back.
We've had to replace our previous manager for obvious reasons. We brought in a new person to run the district who worked out well.
Withers noted that the recent search for an executive director involved a number of community leaders and others in the county.
But yet, you know, no matter how much you do and how well you try to find that right person, you never can be absolutely sure they're going to stay.
Booth Schmidt said a lack of housing options on Oregon's North Coast was a major reason for the departure of their most recent executive director, Craig Johnston. Booth Schmidt notes that Carr, the new executive director, is already familiar with the area and the weather, and he has been researching what housing might be available to him. Carr was one of four semifinalists that Sunset Empire's board of directors considered for the job. He participated in a public meet and greet earlier this week. Carr is expected to start at the Sunset Empire Transportation District around June 1st. I'm Katie Frankowitz reporting.
I'm Skylar Butenshin. On the upcoming May ballot, Tillamook County is seeking voter approval for a 4% increase to its transient lodging tax. County Commissioner Mary Faith Bell and former Commissioner Doug Olson say the measure boils down to asking tourists to pay their fair share for the services they receive while they're in Tillamook County. The idea for the transient lodging tax increase originated in county budget discussions last year. Tillamook County leaders are facing a multi-million dollar per year shortfall due to stagnant property tax and decreasing timber revenues. The county's transient lodging tax is currently at 10%. There hasn't been an increase to that in over a decade. Under Oregon state law, 70% of that money must go towards tourism-related facilities or promotion. The remaining 30% is available for discretionary use, which up until now the county has devoted to funding for road maintenance. Now, with the proposed 4% increase, county commissioners are looking to split the discretionary funds between three recipients. The Tillamook County Sheriff's Office would receive 80% of the funds, then 10% would go to county emergency management, and the final 10% would go to maintenance of a new county emergency radio system in the works. Plans for the funds generated from the increase that would be restricted to tourism-related projects are less certain, but Tillamook County commissioners have invited organizations with ideas to reach out and say they are keeping a list of future projects. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald. Read more online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. Last week, Long Beach City Councilors signed off on a contract that will allow the Long Beach Police Department to board prisoners in the Pacific County Jail. The city's new agreement with the county for jail services at its South Bend facility lasts through the end of 2026. Long Beach Police Chief Flint Wright says he believes the new agreement could help decrease criminal activity in the area. Under the contract, the city of Long Beach will pay a $50 booking fee each time one of its prisoners is booked into the county jail, and on top of that, $85 per day. However, the city will not have to pay those fees if the Pacific County Prosecutor's Office brings felony charges against any of its prisoners. Long Beach sets aside funding in its budget each year to cover boarding costs at the jail. City Administrator David Glasson says the Long Beach Police Department hasn't come close to exceeding that funding over the past 20 years. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. As the Trump administration works to shrink the federal government, budget cuts could mean the end of a program focused on Washington's coastal zone. Washington Sea Grant funds programs to help communities manage their fisheries and coastlines. KUOW's John Ryan has this report.
If you've eaten local shellfish and not gotten sick, there's a good chance you've benefited from Washington Sea Grant. The state-federal collaboration runs an early warning system for harmful algae that can make otherwise tasty shellfish poisonous. It also helps towns plan for rising sea levels and fend off invaders like the European green crab. The Trump White House aims to eliminate funding for Sea Grant in all 34 states where it operates. Washington Sea Grant gets most of its $10 million budget from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. That agency has been targeted for deep cuts. State officials say it's unclear whether Washington Sea Grant would survive without federal funding.
Among the White House's latest potential cuts to federal spending is the elimination of the Scientific Research Unit for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA. As KLCC's Brian Bull reports, that could have a major impact on a coastal Oregon city.
NOAA's Marine Operations Center in Newport harbors two research ships which help the Pacific Fleet protect marine life, manage commercial fisheries, study climate change, and make nautical charts for safe navigation. But a proposed federal budget plan would make deep cuts to NOAA's research capacity.
It's good for Newport to have organizations like NOAA here.
John Fuller is a spokesman for the city of Newport. He says the NOAA facility is a major contributor to the economy, whether it's commercial fishing or even a recurring event like Whale Watching Week.
When I talk about direct and indirect impacts, you're also talking about the work that goes into things that sometimes we take for granted as tourist attractions. But when those whale pods are coming through here, that's important research that's also happening at that same time.
In a statement to KLCC, Democratic U.S. Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon called the Trump administration's proposed cuts foolish and feckless and said he would vigorously fight them. I'm Brian Bull, reporting in Eugene.
You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you'll always find today's local and regional news here at kmun.org/news. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at kmun.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.